the rest of the story. It says, meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. So the older brother hears this chaos going on, this commotion and this dancing and partying, and he's wondering what's happening. And the servant says, your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. Verse 28, the older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. So here's the older brother. He's upset because his younger brother's back home after blowing it. His dad's throwing a party for him. We're going to talk some more about that in a minute. And he's out pouting and protesting the party. The dad comes out to talk to him. And so his father went out and pleaded with him. Verse 29, but he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. You never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when the son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes come home, you kill the fatted calf for him? And then listen to the father's words, verses 31 through 32. My son, the father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Well, I think if we're honest with ourselves, as we read the rest of the story, we kind of get where the older brother's coming from, right? I mean, Jesus really throws a wrench in the story with the second half, right? Like, we're all okay with the first half. What a beautiful story. This punk kid runs away, blows everything, messes up his life, and he comes back home, and his dad, in this stunning display of grace and mercy and forgiveness, loves on him, welcomes him back, restores him to his position as a son, and they all lived happily ever after. We're okay with that part, right? That makes sense. That's beautiful. What a beautiful display of grace. But then Jesus has to go messing with us. And he throws in the second half of the story. And if we're honest and we look at it, we kind of get where the older brother's coming from. I mean, my reaction when I read this is kind of like my reaction to the lady in the salon. What's up with that? What's up with that? I get where the older brother's coming from. Like, why are you throwing a party for this kid? Why are you throwing a party for my punk younger brother who blew his inheritance on prostitutes? And if we'll stop pretending for a moment and we'll admit that, you know, this story doesn't quite sit right with us, you know? I mean, we're so spiritual sometimes. We know Jesus told the story, so we're just supposed to agree with it, right? But if we're just honest as human beings as we read this story, something about it just seems like not so fair. Like, what a terrible ending to the story. Like, if he would have just stopped right there with the lost son, like, it would be good. But then we read about this older son, and it seems like he's kind of getting gypped off here. Like, what's up with this? Okay, how many of you had younger siblings, younger brothers or sisters? Any older brothers or sisters in here? Yes, I am number three of four boys. And didn't you hate the fact that, like, the baby got away with everything? Anybody experience that, right? Like, my little brother, like, he got away with everything. Like, stuff I got beat for, he got away with. And, like, sometimes I wanted to remind him, hey, kid, I paved the way for you, man. I paved it on my back and on my butt. Mom and Dad spanked me so you could enjoy this freedom. Don't you forget about it. Younger brothers and sisters get away with everything, right? The older brother just kind of really felt that way. You know, maybe as we look at the story of the lost son, you can identify with the younger brother. Like, maybe you know what it is to blow it. Maybe you know what it is to crash and burn, to have made some mistakes, to have been down and out and really messed up and hit rock bottom. And you can identify with the younger brother. But for some of you, that's really hard to relate to. You know, some of you, you've been responsible. You've been the good older brother. You've been the one who's held it together. You're the one who's always kind of done the right thing. You know, maybe you were the kid who always got good grades in school, and you were the teacher's pet, and you never got in trouble, and you never talked to strangers, and you always looked both ways before crossing the street, and you rescued cats out of trees, and you helped little old ladies cross the street. Man, I hated kids like you growing up. I was one of those kids who was always in trouble. I was one of those kids in the back of the room always yapping like this. And God was like, hey, son, I got an assignment for you. I'm going to take your yapping like that. I got a job for you. I'm going to make you a preacher. Okay, Lord. But, you know, really, I mean, for some of you, it's really hard to identify with the younger brother because for you see yourself more than the older brother. Like, yeah, I've held it together. I've done the right thing. You've been that person. You've been solid for your family. You've been a provider. You've been reliable. You've worked hard. You haven't blown everything. And so when we look at this story, you know, the older brother kind of resonates with you and you get where he's coming from. And the situation seems a bit unfair. Am I making sense to anybody this morning? And see, it's not that God is unfair, because obviously the story here is about the Father, and the Father represents God. Jesus was telling this story to reveal to us who God is. And it's not that God is unfair, it's that God is different from us. I think that's on the screen this morning if you're taking notes. It's not that God is unfair, it's that God is different from us. He's a God of grace. He's a God of grace. See, when we read this story through the lens of grace, we begin to recognize the goodness of God. We begin to recognize that God accepts us and loves us as a heavenly Father. See, the story's really kind of got a misnomer. It's really misnamed. It's really not the story of the lost son, although we know it that way, the story of the prodigal son. This is really the story of the surprising father. It's really the story of the surprising father, because what would have blown people away in Jesus' culture, as he was telling this story in the ancient Near East, a respect culture where everything was built on family and respect, and kids didn't just run away and blow their inheritance. For the father to have done what he did to embrace his son and forgive him would have just blown the whole paradigm that they knew. So this is really the story of the surprising father. So Jesus is telling us this story to show us how God is different from us. This was a shocking revelation, a shocking truth for its time. And if we can get it today, if we can take on the lens of grace as we read this story and really see who God is, the father who loves us, the father who runs to us, the father who wants to welcome us into his family, into his home, it can change our hearts forever. So here's the first thing we see. The first thing we see is that the older son had forgotten that his identity as a son had nothing to do with what he had done. It had nothing to do with what he had done. Look at verses 29 and 30 with me again. Look at verses 29 and 30. So here's the older brother. He comes in and he hears all this commotion and this partying, and he's asking the servants, what's going on? What's happening? Why do I hear music and dancing? And then he hears that his father has killed the fattened calf, and he's throwing this celebration for his younger brother, and he becomes angry, and his father goes out to plead with him in verse 29. It says, this is how he answered. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. That just sounds funny to me. I'm sorry. Can you just hear? You never even gave me a young goat before, Dad. Verse 30. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him? For him? You can hear him saying that. So the older brother starts reminding his father of all of the good things he's done. Dad, I've slaved for you. Dad, I've worked for you. Doesn't it sound a little bit dramatic? Slave for you. I've worked for you. All these years, I've never disobeyed you. But he starts reminding his dad of how good he's been. See, what he forgot was that his father was just looking at both of them as sons, and he had done nothing to deserve being a son. I mean, let me put it to you this way. Can you imagine if I was sitting around the table one night for dinner with my three boys and my oldest son, Aaron, who's 9 years old now, can you imagine if he stood up in the middle of dinner and decided to make an announcement? Mom and Dad, I have an announcement for you. After all of these years, after 9 years of walking on this planet, I feel that I have come into the place that I deserve to be called your son. I've been a good boy. I've gotten good grades. I've done my chores around the house. And I hereby announce that today I am worthy to bear the last name of Ziegler. Do you know what my response would probably be? Shut up and sit down and eat your cereal, kid. The parents in here said amen. Right? I mean, with those of you who are parents, that would be like offensive to you, because you know that your kids have done nothing to deserve to be called your children, right? Like, being a child is a gift. Having a good mother or father, it's a gift to us. It's something that we're born into. It's a gift that's given to us. And here's what I want to say to you today. Your identity as a son or daughter in Christ isn't based on anything you've done. It's based on what God has done for you. If you're taking notes, please put that in your notes today. Your identity as a son or daughter of God in Christ Jesus, being adopted into God's family, it's all about what God has done for you. It's not about what God has done to us. We don't go to God with our laundry list of all the good things we've done for him so that we've earned some credit with God. God, I've been so good. God, I've been so faithful. God, I've given in church and I've showed up and helped Pastor Jeremy and I've done this or that. And like, God's like, whoop-dee-doo, right? When God came to us in the form of his son, Jesus Christ, went to the cross for our sins. No, it's about what God has done for us. I love what one of my favorite authors, Pastor Mark Batterson, says in his book, If. He says, religion is all about what you can do for God. Christianity is all about what Christ has done for you. You see, the older brother didn't deserve his father's blessing. The older brother didn't do anything to deserve the fact that he was a son. Here was a father looking at two of his sons, and he just saw them both as sons. Had the younger brother blown it? Had he crashed and burned? Had he messed up really bad? Yes. But that didn't change how his father saw him. He still saw him as a son, and it didn't change how he saw the older brother. The older brother wasn't getting it, that the father just saw them both as sons. His heart was for both of them. Just because he was celebrating the younger brother didn't take anything away from the way he felt about his older brother. Sonship is not based on what you've done, what you've accomplished. Being a son or daughter is not based on our resume. It's based on a God who loves us as a heavenly father. It's all about him. So when you're a son or a daughter, you just live in the reality of that and enjoy the blessing. Come on, how many of you know that's true? I don't know what your relationship's like with your parents. Hopefully you had at least a good relationship with your mom or your dad, hopefully even both. But the blessing of being a son or daughter is that you just live in the reality of that. You live in the reality of that and you appreciate the blessing. Now, there's still something about the celebration that seems a bit unfair. And the older son makes his case in verses 27 and 28, before the verses we just read. Back it up. Verse 27, this is after he's asking about what's happening and the other servants tell him what's going on. Verse 27, your brother has come home, he replied. This is the servant. And your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. And then listen to verse 28. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. See, the older brother was not comfortable with this celebration at all. In fact, he was standing outside pouting, protesting, boycotting his younger brother's party. He was not comfortable with the party. In fact, it was even scandalous for him. It was scandalous in this culture that his father, who had been disrespected, dishonored by his younger brother, would throw a party. I mean, it might be one thing if his father had accepted his brother back on his hands and knees and made him plead and beg and maybe made him a servant to where he had to work his way back into his father's graces. Maybe the older brother could have accepted that. But to see his father throw a celebration for him, to kill the fattened calf, the prize cow, like the prize filet mignon for his little brother. He's like, this is just doesn't make sense. It almost seemed like the father was rewarding the lost son's behavior. I mean, after all, he doesn't shame the son. He gives him a hero's welcome. And see, here's the question I think we wrestle with deep down that we see in this story. If God gives grace to us equally, then what's the incentive to live righteously? Come on, isn't that true? If God gives grace to us equally, obviously God doesn't hold his grace back from anybody. If he even gives it to this lost son who represents people who have blown it, people who are broken, people who have messed up. If God gives grace to everybody evenly and there's nothing we have to do to earn his favor, what's the incentive to live righteously? Isn't that the question that was in the prodigal, in the older brother's heart? Isn't that the question? He was basically saying, if I've stayed here and served you, if I've worked the farm, if I've been faithful, if I've done my chores, if I've done my due diligence, if I've been faithful to you, if I've stayed here, if I didn't run away and blow my inheritance, and I've done all the right things, and my little brother comes back and you still accept him as a son, what incentive do I have to do this work? What incentive do I have to honor you as a father? What's in it for me? Why not just do whatever I want to do? Isn't that really what was going on inside of him? You see, if we don't have to earn God's favor because obviously he gives it to anybody, then why live righteously? Why not cheat? Why not manipulate? Why not lie? Why not take advantage of people? Why not live sexually immoral lives? Why not live for money like everybody else? On the flip side, why forgive? Why be generous? Why serve? Why not live solely for ourselves? That's the question that we have to deal with today, right? Can we just have an honest moment with ourselves today? That sometimes God's grace just messes with us a little bit? And see, the problem reveals our humanity. The problem reveals our human nature because it's not about what we can get from God and it's not about what we can do for God. Here's the point. The point of the Christian faith is not earning God's favor. It's knowing God as Father. Are you with me this morning? The point of the Christian faith is not earning God's favor. It's not doing all these things that we can do to impress God. It's not doing all these good works so we have credit with God, so we've scored some brownie points with God, so that God is indebted to us. Isn't that what the older brother was saying? Dad, I've done these things. Dad, I've been a good boy. Dad, I showed up for work on time. Dad, I've never run away and blown all the money with prostitutes. But he has. so I should have some favor with you. No, no, it's about knowing God as our Father. It's about having communion with Him. It's about having relationship with Him. The blessing comes from simply knowing Him. How many of you know that's true? How many of you know that's true in your life? The blessing comes from being in relationship with God, from living with Him, walking with Him. The blessing comes from knowing Him. From knowing God as the source of your life, the wisdom of your life, the strength of your life. See, Jesus turns the whole system upside down with this parable. He turned the whole system upside down. The hearers, the people who heard this for the first time in that ancient culture, this would have blown their minds. See, everybody knew the way things worked at that time. In this Old Testament-based culture that they lived in, people knew the law. They knew how things worked. They knew that God was a God who blessed the righteous, and God was a God who promised to punish the wicked, right? So there was an obvious incentive to live for God, because if you lived a righteous life, you were going to walk in the blessings of God. If you lived a wicked life, you were going to incur the wrath of God. And in some ways, that's so true. But Jesus came to show them something new. Here's the problem with that. Even though that was true for its time, here's the problem with that. It didn't cause people to serve God from the heart level. What happened is that people began to serve God out of obligation. They began to keep His commands, keep His laws out of obligation, and sadly, sometimes even out of fear. Right? They had heard the stories of their fathers. They had the scriptures. They knew that sometimes God killed people. And they did not want to come under His judgment and His wrath. And so sometimes people even serve God out of fear. And here's Jesus. He shows up and He begins preaching the grace of God. And He begins hanging out with down and out broken people, prostitutes, tax collectors, sinners, scandalous people who had bad reputations. And Jesus just loved on them. Jesus just went to those people because He was showing them that God is a God who comes to us by His grace. God is a God who comes to us as a loving heavenly Father. Jesus came to show us that God is a loving, merciful Father who accepts us not based on what we've done, but because of who He is. How many of you are thankful for that this morning? It's because of who He is. And when you get the revelation of God's grace, that God wants to be your Father, then you can serve Him out of gratitude. And it changes everything. It's no longer serving God out of obligation, serving God out of fear, but it changes everything. You know what's so sad today is here we are 2,000 years after Jesus came, and so many people still have that same mindset about God, that they serve God out of fear. If I don't say enough Hail Marys every day, if I don't do the right thing and this or that, if, you know, that God's going to get me, God's looking to punish me, when God wants to be a Father to us. Come on, aren't you thankful for that today, that God's a God of grace, that it's not about what we've done, but it's about a God who comes to us and meets us where we are. Let me say this to you, because some of you need to hear this today. For some of you, it's very hard to accept God as your Father because maybe you didn't have a good relationship with your father. And I want to say this to you today. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Some of you, your dad wasn't there for you. Your dad walked out on you. You don't know your dad in that way. But here's what I want to say to you today. God is the Father you always wished you had. He's not the Father who's going to leave you. In fact, the promise in the scriptures, He's the Father who will never leave you nor forsake you. See, something inside of us is hurt by that because we know that a father, we know what a father should be. We know what a father should be, a provider, a protector. And that's who God is. That's how God reveals Himself to us. You know, I want my kids to grow up to be decent human beings, to do something really great with their lives. We try to teach our kids, you know, the word of God and teach them what it means to be good boys. Try to teach them God's grace. And I want my kids to respect me, not just because they're fearful of me or they're fearful of getting punished or they're fearful of disappointing us as parents. Now, sometimes we do threaten them. Sometimes we do threaten them with their lives. We remind them, we brought you into this world and we can take you out if we have to. My parents used to remind me of that every now and then. They used to remind me of some of those Old Testament scriptures where they stoned rebellious kids in the Old Testament. They're in there. Those scriptures are in there. I'm thankful for grace. Thankful for the new covenant. But I want, you know what? I really want my kids to grow up to be decent human beings, God-loving, God-fearing human beings, because they want to make us proud, because we put the heart of God inside of them, not because they fear us. Not because they fear disappointing us. It's so sad. So many people are motivated to please their parents out of fear or disappointment. But no. I want my kids to get it. I want them to get who we are. I want them to get our hearts. I want them to get our love for God. And they see that and they want to emulate that. Don't you want that for your kids? And see, that's how God feels about us. He looks at us and He looks at how many times we get hung up in our shame and our failures and our disappointment and condemning ourselves and thinking that God is the God of the cartoons who's waiting to throw lightning bolts down at us. And we just get so absorbed in our sin and shame and thinking that we have to do all these things to please God. And in our good days, we feel like God loves us more. And when we're having really bad days, we feel like God loves us less. And God's saying, no, no, my heart for you is that of a father. Jesus came to reveal God to us as a loving heavenly father who wants us to know his embrace, who wants us to know meaning and purpose and love because we know him as Father. And the older brother's response, it just makes you wonder. It just makes you wonder a little bit as if he did the right things for the wrong reasons. It just makes you wonder if he had the right motivation. Don't you just kind of hear a little bit of the wrong motivation? Dad, I slaved for you all of these years. I never did anything wrong, and yet you celebrate my brother. Doesn't it just make you wonder if he really served his father out of love, out of gratitude, or was he serving his father out of obligation? See, I don't think there's that much difference actually between the lost son and the older brother. I think they both really didn't serve their father out of gratitude. One of them just had enough of it and ran off. The other one just stayed on the job, but I'm not so sure his heart was in the right place. Are you with me this morning? And see, when we serve God out of obligation, we miss out on the joy of being in relationship with him. Let me say that to you again, then we're going to look at verse 28. When we serve God out of obligation, we miss out on the joy of being in relationship with him. Everybody say joy. I want to make sure you're awake this morning. Joy. Look at verse 28. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. What I want you to see here is that he focused so much on his undeserving brother's bad behavior and how much he didn't deserve this party that it kept him from the celebration. It kept him from the celebration. Who's the loser in this situation? Everybody's in there partying. Everybody's in there celebrating. Everybody's in there feasting and having a great time. And here's the older brother outside of the party pouting. And he was so focused on his undeserving brother that he missed the opportunity to celebrate the goodness of his father. And see, he represents to me the spirit of religion that serves God out of obligation, that pouts and doesn't understand when God comes to others in grace and blesses people that we don't think should be blessed. And that's what happened. These Pharisees were standing around and they were seeing Jesus loving on these sinners. They were seeing Jesus loving on these people who had terrible reputations. And they were like, what's going on here? What's up with that? Jesus was trying to show them God as Father. See, when you know the blessing of the Father, when you really have the Father's heart, when you know that you're his child and your home is with him, and your identity and your worth and your dignity and your purpose is rooted and based on your relationship with him and who he is as your heavenly Father, then it frees you to celebrate a good God who receives others and even blesses others that you wouldn't otherwise think deserve it. It frees you to be able to celebrate even a God who receives prodigals back home. How many of you know that's true? See, when you know God's goodness in your life, when your identity, when your mindset, when your heart is in the place of gratitude, of just being gracious that you know God, that you're walking with him, that you're walking in his blessings, that you know him as Father, that you've known forgiveness for your sins, that you've been saved from a life of sin and shame and where you could be, when you know where you could be, when you haven't forgotten where you could be and you see where you are. See, that's what happened. The older brother forgot where he could be. He could have been out laying in a ditch feeding pigs like his brother, but no, he was home. He was safe. He was sound. He was clothed. He was fed. He had a roof over his head. He had dignity. He had the respect of his father. He was called by his father's last name, but he forgot where he could be. And every now and then we can become like the older brother. We can forget where we could be if not for the grace of God. And we can start looking at other people and saying, God, I don't understand why you're blessing that person. And God, I don't understand how you can accept people like that. I've walked with you all of these years, but where am I? But sometimes we forget. Sometimes we forget where we could be outside of God's grace. Come on, how many of you know we need a reminder every now and then of the goodness of God's grace, how he's protected us, how he's kept us. You may have been through some stuff, but man, there's somebody's story who's always worse than you. If you don't think somebody's story is worse, just put on the 6 o'clock news every day. I'm telling you, it's a lot worse out there. And God has kept us. God has kept us. And so we just have to live in a place where the revelation of God's grace is fresh to us. I don't want God's grace, what he's done for me, his love, the fact that he's accepted me as a father. I just don't want that to get stale and routine and something that I get so used to that I forget where I could be outside of his grace. And so we're going to land this message this morning. The worship team is going to come back and we're going to pray in just a moment. But here's what I want to say to you. Clearly, we can all see ourselves in the lost son. Every one of us, we know our failures. Listen to me this morning. We know our failures. We know our mistakes. We know where we've blown it. We know where we've messed up. But you know, we also have this capacity to be like the older brother and to forget that our identity and our worth and our dignity, it comes from simply being accepted as a daughter and as a son and receiving that as a gift. And sometimes, if we're honest, we even wonder if it's worth it to strive to live righteously for God, because some days it feels like we're striving, doesn't it? Some days it feels like we're working so hard to do the right things to honor God in a world where everybody's doing their own thing. And you say, Pastor Jeremy, you preach grace, but there's people around me who have hurt me. There's people around me who are doing what's wrong. And sometimes I wonder, is it even, here I am striving to do what's right, is it even worth it? Listen, we all feel that way sometimes. But the joy, the true joy, is knowing God as Father. The true joy is knowing God as Father. Let me say this to you as well this morning. We don't take God's grace lightly and just trample on it. The Apostle Paul actually dealt with this question in the New Testament. He said, should we keep sinning because God has so much grace for us, because his grace abounds? Surely not. We died to sin. Listen, if God has welcomed you home, the point is not to keep living like a prodigal. Some of you need to hear that this morning. We don't abuse God's grace. It isn't like we just keep going to God's grace endlessly. Thank God for his endless grace. But here's what I'm trying to show you today. Jesus came to affect us at the heart level, to change us at the heart level. Jesus knew that our problem as human beings is what was going on right inside of here. People had tried to keep the external commands, and for generations that had kept them, but God wanted a people who knew what it is to love him as sons and daughters from the heart. In fact, the scripture says that God wanted to literally write his commands on our hearts. And when you get that God is a God of grace, God is a God of love. In fact, God is a heavenly Father. What better picture could there be? When we think about what a father should be, a protector, a provider, one who loves us, one who cares for us, one who accepts us no matter what. See, what God came to show us is when I accept you in that way and I extend grace to you, it should change your heart. And then when you're changed at the heart level, your response to me is a life of gratitude. And you no longer serve me out of obligation. And it's not about anymore what you can do or what you haven't done. It's really not about you anymore. What changes your heart is the revelation of God's grace. And so our prayer today is, God, give us a revelation of your grace. God, stretch my imagination. God, open my heart to understand how big your love is, how big your grace is. God, I don't want to be the older brother. I don't want to be the older brother who forgot how far you've taken me, who's forgotten where I could be. But God, help me to know that my purpose and my dignity and my worth is found in knowing you as Father. Because see, if the older brother really had his father's heart, he would have been celebrating alongside of his father when the younger brother came home. One of my favorite books about the lost son, the prodigal son, is a book by the great author Henry Nouwen, who was a wonderful Catholic priest and author who wrote some just beautiful books that really tug at the heart. And he wrote a book about the return of the prodigal son. And he said, you know, we see ourselves in the lost son. And all the times we've run away from God and forgotten that our home was with him. We see ourselves in the older brother in those times that we're self-righteous, that we're proud, that we don't understand why God forgives other people or blesses other people and doesn't bless us. And he said, yeah, we see ourselves there. And the younger brother and the older brother, but we're on a journey to become the father, to have the father's heart inside of us. So what would that look like in your life to have the father's heart inside of you toward every person you come in contact with? How would you see prodigals differently with the father's heart? How would you live differently if you really had the father's heart inside of you? And that's our prayer today. Would you stand with me as we close in prayer? And our prayer is simply, God, make your grace real to me. May your grace be fresh to me. May your love be new to me. God, would you open the eyes of my heart to see you for who you are? Maybe there's some of you in here today. You've never made a decision to place your trust in Christ. Maybe you've never heard it this way. You've never heard the good news of Jesus Christ preached this way. I want to tell you that God loves you. He's the Father who runs out to meet you. He loves you just as you are. But the scripture tells us that he loves you too much to leave you where you are. He wants to bring you to a place of wholeness, to relationship with him, healing, forgiveness for your sins. He doesn't want us to keep being bound by the things that have broken us, stuck in the same broken cycles, stuck in the same negative thinking, stuck in the same selfish living, but he came to give us freedom and life and hope. And some of us, you know that. You know the gospel. It's part of who you are. It's changed your life. You're a son, you're a daughter, but today you just needed that reminder. You just needed that reminder of your identity, of knowing God as Father. How would it change things if we could really get it in our spirits that God wants us to know him as Father, that you are unconditionally loved and accepted by a good and gracious God who desires to know you as a Father. And so, Lord, today, we're asking you, every one of us, make this your personal response. God, we're asking you to give us a fresh understanding, a supernatural revelation of your grace, of your love for us. Father, I pray for the lost sons in this place who need to find their way home, maybe for the first time. If that's you, would you just pray the simplest of prayers? God, I recognize my need for you. I recognize I've sinned. I recognize I've made mistakes. I recognize that I need a relationship with you, and I'm coming back home today. Would you just pray that simple prayer? And God, here's your prayer today as a father. God, I'm coming home to you today. I place my trust in you. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you came to reveal a God to me who loves me and receives me by his grace. And now I pray for every one of you in this place that you would know the love of your Father, that you would know you are accepted, that you have a home with him, you have an identity with him. And God, would you remind us today of where we could be apart from your grace, that we've really done nothing to be called sons and daughters, but you've gifted it to us. God, help us to live graciously. Help us to live graciously every day. May our lives reflect a gratitude of the gift of being called your children. God, today, would you spark ideas in our hearts, ideas in our minds of what that looks like. And Father, I pray for those who especially need healing in their hearts today because their father wasn't there for them, walked out on them. I'm praying right now for healing in the hearts of people who have a broken relationship with their father. God, would you show them that you're the father? You're the father they always wish they had. And you want them to know you and to know that they're loved. And so we thank you for your grace today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship together.